Welcome to the Sports Brewery Podcast. I'm Alex Braga. If you have any suggestions for our trivia or our list segment that happened at the end of the show, you can holler at us on Twitter at Jeromney, at TSB Ski, at TSB Pod. So, Pac-12 football is going to be a thing. Seven games starting November 6th, was it? November 6th. And finishing up just in time for the playoff committee to possibly consider them for something. How many games, and by the way, also today, on the note of Oregon and California saying, yeah, it's okay, you're allowed to do practices or whatever. Also today, Colorado said you can't. Like Boulder County in Colorado said, like for 2 weeks or something, you're not allowed to do anything in that county. And so Colorado might be screwed. Who knows? We'll see. But so are we actually expecting teams to play seven games? Because I'm not.
No. No.
Yeah. Because right now,
I think they have just as good a chance to play seven games as the teams start. You know, SEC starting now has a chance to play seven games. I mean. But
I think you posted it, King. Houston hasn't – they've had three games postponed now.
They haven't played. So they've technically had five.
Right.
Because one was a Pac-12 opponent.
Yeah.
Season gone. One was – I don't know, Mac or something, season gone. And since then, they've scheduled three games, and all three games have been postponed. So it's technically five, but really it's...
What are we doing?
We're grabbing cash, baby. What do you think we're doing? You're damn right we're grabbing cash. That's all this is. That's all it is.
Yeah. It's so funny.
They should just let each president go in one of those machines that just has money spinning around like little boxes.
Absolutely.
Let's just do that instead. I mean, Jesus.
That would be so good, by the way. Or just like bingo or something like that. Where they get the random balls or like the lottery or something. It's all luck, like depending on how much money of the Pac-12 TV contract you get. And hey, maybe you'll play four games. All right, let's make sure we come back and practice for it. I don't know. So I'm torn because I'm definitely 100% excited that the Ducks are going to play.
And so you're Natalie Imbruglia.
I don't get that reference, and I'm pretty proud.
How do you not get that reference?
Wow.
I might need that one explained to me.
Okay, whatever.
I mean, that's mid-90s?
Well, that's got to be late 90s.
Late 90s? Yeah.
I know who – I remember the name Natalie Imbruglia. I don't remember the reference at all.
Well, that was her song because she's torn. She's all out of space. This is how she feels.
I got nothing. Oh, wait. No. I tried. I'm trying to get on your level here, King.
But I am with you. Like last week, I mentioned that, you know, just being – a fan of college sports, you have to suspend beliefs and morals just off the jump.
Yeah. If we're talking about this at all, there's no morality to it. Because if we actually give a fuck about the kids, then we're like, yeah, of course, stay home. Don't play. Like this doesn't serve you really at all. So just chill. Like stay safe. Stay with your family.
And this whole season is just the biggest cash grab, and it's pretty transparent, and it's gross. Yeah. But at the same time, I think my team is the best team in the conference, and let's just glass half full. Let's say they're playing seven games. Mm-hmm. Why would I expect them to lose any of them?
So we're saying 8-0, 8-0 including the Pac-12 championship game. And you get in that playoff, get to 9-0, win that then you got 10-0, boom.
No, they lose to Clemson by 30 in the playoff, but they get there.
So you're clearly assuming that Sewell and Dram and Lenore are not coming back then.
No, well, yeah. Well, Sewell is definitely not.
Well, okay.
He has been officially ruled out.
Apparently you don't care about this team because, you know, they care about this team. They're going to come play with their brothers, right?
Did they say when they will release a schedule?
I think early next week is what I read.
Yeah, because practice starts next week, right?
Tomorrow, really?
It could.
I guess if teams want to do it tomorrow, they can start tomorrow.
Yeah, so if they're in town, then might as well get going, I guess. Yeah. You're not doing anything else.
It's just the one game against the South, right? It's every game, every team in the North, and then one team from random team from the South.
Yeah, so
it's still going to be Utah then? Probably.
No, they haven't said yet.
Okay.
Well, by the way, Brock, did you see – I don't know how believable it is, but if – like when they were voting for it, if they didn't agree to a season, Utah was going to head to the Big 12.
Yeah, they were just going to –
It was the Big 12.
Yeah, they were just going to somehow join the Big 12.
So, and the school, which, by the way, that school in particular is the one that furloughed all of their employees. And so every single coach, every single person in the athletic department, every single employee in the athletic department has been furloughed for almost a month now. And so what they're saying is they're going to be unfurloughed and then switch to another conference. Yeah.
A conference that probably does not want them.
That sounds plausible. Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, they're in our conference, but do you guys really want them?
Yeah. I'll take Utah. Yes.
Yeah.
Colorado. I'm borderline on Colorado because I like things about Colorado.
Hey, seen them at a Fiesta Bowl. That's all I'm saying.
Exactly that. So there's that, and then Boulder's pretty cool, and they have grass on their field, which I like. They have a buffalo.
Yeah, they got a big buffalo.
Yeah, I like buffaloes. So actually, I don't know if it is a buffalo. Didn't we learn this? Isn't it a bison? I think we talked about this because there are no buffaloes, right?
Bison.
Yeah. I love that we know that now. Everybody who listens to this has learned that. And we'll never forget it.
And what was it? The other one was USC was going to go independent.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Which was plausible, I guess. I believe that way more than Utah jumping to the Big 12.
Well, I don't know if you guys are subscribers to The Athletic.
Notre Dame joining a conference, by the way.
Right. Well, I don't know if you guys are subscribers to The Athletic, but there was a legitimate article from, like, Seattle Athletic or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Should the University of Washington go independent? And long story short, the guy who wrote it was like, no. He was like, and he just busted down the stats because the person who asked the question, it was like a mailbag thing.
Yeah.
Was like, you know,
I was going to say, dude, why are you writing that article if your answer is no?
It was like, for all those years, we were perennial national title contenders.
Yeah.
And the guy was like, well,
what
like
years were
3 years. Yeah. Well, I mean, he was talking like mid-80s to 2000s. Yeah. So the author was like, well, there were those 3 years, like 90, 91, 92, you made the Rose Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And outside of that, no. You've never had like 2 years back to back that were any good other than that.
Yeah.
Just what a major network wants to do is dump in like $500 million to have Washington Huskies on their channel every week.
But even the thing with Notre Dame being independent is Notre Dame is gonna make more TV money this year in the ACC by splitting up all their NBC money equally. And then taking in the other ACC money than they normally do. They don't make a lot as actually being an NBC property.
Interesting.
They make less. Notre Dame, on a yearly basis on TV, makes less than Oregon State.
Huh. That's why it's been going on for so long. It's because there's really no benefit for NBC to be a, like, stick to Notre Dame affiliate. So like if they were to be spending a whole bunch of money for that, it's like, why? Like, I mean, people kind of watch Notre Dame. Like the pageantry and the history of Notre Dame being on NBC is cool, I guess. But I don't know. I don't watch them ever, ever. Like unless they're playing SC or something. Like I'm not even watching them when they play Stanford. Like that's a boring football game to me. Like I'm not.
I like watching Stanford beat them. I usually watch that game.
Like I'll watch USC, but that's pretty much it. And I mean, you know, they play other good teams every once in a while too. But
they do.
I mean, do they move to a conference? I mean, there's money there, but is staying independent? I mean, that gives them the best chance to ever make the college playoffs.
Well, from what I read,
I don't know about that.
Earlier this summer, is that they probably won't ever join a conference because a wank wank grab my dick tradition.
Sure.
But they also make enough money from the basketball teams being in the ACC that it kind of offsets, because they do know, like, they're self-aware. They don't make as much on their TV deal as they could.
Yeah.
But they're willing to kind of dump some of that cash because they make it up in other places.
Makes sense.
And I mean, like, you know, some years Notre Dame has a pretty dope schedule. And if I was a Notre Dame fan, I would want them to join a conference.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say the ACC or the Big Ten. Because every year we're playing Michigan, Penn State, Ohio State, or
–
well, I'd rather have them join the ACC and just avoid Clemson, because then you go 12 and well, you know. Mm-hmm. But I think being independent would be weird, but I see why people like it, I guess.
Mm-hmm. It just depends. Like, because you do get – honestly, I think it would be a benefit for them to join a conference because, you know, the way they're scheduling right now, you know, you have big teams on paper, I guess. But, like, but a general ACC schedule all the way through, you're playing a lot of cupcakes, man. And so you do play Clemson, but pretty much everybody else on that schedule is going to be a win. So you really only have to get up for one game, and now you have the benefit of being in a conference. And so you're looked at equally with Clemson and Ohio State and, you know, everybody else.
And this is partially my fault.
And by the way, if you are making more money in the TV deal, if you're in the ACC, then fucking do it.
But how did our Laker podcast just become a Fighting Irish podcast?
That's your fault.
That is my fault. I own that. We're up 3-1, by the way.
We're up 3-1.
Purple right, and gold, before, baby.
Before we get to NBA, though, so anything else on the Pac-12? Because, we already aren't really buying the fact that they're actually going to play 7 games. But are you excited now? So they've said they're not going to let fans in the stadiums anywhere. And so that's gonna be weird. It just is. But I don't know. Are we excited now to watch, you know, Oregon go 7-0?
I mean, on you know, September 24th.
Playing at empty, you know, Levi's Stadium.
I'll pretend I'm excited. You know, I'll be the optimistic, you know, let's do it. But like I said earlier, I'm not really sure they're gonna play the full 7 or 8 or whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm okay with pretending I'm excited right now. I think it's weird, but
I don't know. I kind of think they, like, I don't know. I get the sense, and I know it's probably like false optimism or something, but I really get the sense Oregon in particular, the way their, you know, their power structure is and the way their organization is and how they're kind of separated from all the other sports. You know, they're separated from everything else just in the Hatfield-Allen complex. They can basically just live there if they wanted to. But I kind of think they might actually be able to pull off, you know, not really having many positives. So obviously that's going to remain to be seen. It's, you know, it's probably false optimism. I don't know. But I know from, you know, Cristobal's been saying all the right things from the beginning. Even when they said, you know, there's not going to be a season, whatever, he's like, yeah, we're having guys like here working out still. We're making sure they're getting those, you know, those tests every time they come in. We're making sure, like, if anybody's been around other people, they're not being around us. And so it seems like they've got their shit together. Who knows? You know, we'll see in the next, few weeks, if that's actually going to be true.
But it's just the irony is not lost on me, mm-hmm, that the day they announce that the Pac-12 is back, you know, Boulder County does their thing, you know, and then Lane County's like, oh, and by the way, we've had the, mm-hmm, most positives in, yeah, 3 months, back-to-back days.
Same day, yep.
Have fun.
Good luck, boys.
Right on the tail of, like, students moving in. It's like,
mm-hmm, right, right.
So small correlation there, maybe?
Yeah, perhaps. Well, so November 6th. So I think I remember Cristobal saying he needed 5 weeks to get his team ready. And he's going to have 5 weeks to get his team ready. More. So that's, cool. I mean, that's 6 weeks, right? Yeah. So I'll have about 6 weeks to get his team ready, assuming they practice, like, tomorrow. Which I know a lot of guys, a lot of the players on Twitter were mentioning that they were returning this week. Like, they were saying, like, practice was starting earlier this week. And obviously that wasn't the case, but, they were ready. And so a lot of the Duck players are ready to get back to it. So, we'll see what that means. I don't know. I'm looking forward to the schedule and, you know, watching games in Autzen Stadium with nobody there. It's gonna be really interesting.
Do you think Holland opts out eventually?
That's a good question. Like, I still honestly think it would be better for Lenore and Graham to play those 7 games. And so if they decide to come back, then you got that whole DB core intact. And that might be something Holland would want. You know, and by the way, if they don't come back, they still have Mykel Wright.
He would have started over one of them this year.
Yeah, that's right. Don't you get that sense too?
He would have started at corner over one of them.
He's really good.
He's really good, and that's not even a knock on Graham or Lenore. It really isn't.
No,
it's just, you know, they were highly touted 4 stars, mm-hmm, but Wright's a 5-star. Who just looks
the part,
like a 5-star right off the bat.
Yeah. And then
he just did.
And then Verone McKinley, who I wasn't a huge fan of early on because, you know, he was young or whatever, but then he ended up leading the team in interceptions last year.
Why? Because Bo Nix got the game when he touched down on him because he didn't turn his head?
Maybe. Yes, that might be why. Yes. He kind of got picked on that game a little bit.
He did. But that last play of the Bo Nix – that if you look at it from different angles, it's so hard because Holland realizes, like a split second in, he fucked up on his end of the coverage.
Yeah.
And he does even blink. As soon as the ball is thrown, he looks. He's like,
shit,
I should be there. Why did I rush?
Yep.
I would pick that off so easily.
Oh, so easily.
And he just throws his hands up and the ball is still just floating. He's like,
Yep. So anyway, even if those two corners don't come back, and you know Breeze and Holland, if Holland decides to come back, you know, and again, even if Holland doesn't decide to come back, then you got Breeze and Pickett, and those are guys with a whole bunch of experience who are okay.
You know, Holland is pretty good.
Yeah. Well, he's an NFL safety. Of course, he's pretty good. But yeah, I'm saying that the cupboard is like really far from bare. Defensive back wise for the Ducks. If all three of those guys go. I think I've been reading stuff about the offensive line too. So Sewell ends up, you know, going to the NFL, and I'm with you. I don't see any reason why he'd come back. Like he should be the first pick, probably not going to be. We talked about that like last week or whatever, but I've heard it's really a matter of just kind of moving one guy out. And then everybody else just kind of slots in the way the depth has been working the last couple of years for the O-line. And so they could be very good even without him. So I don't know. I don't know. That's the thing about all these questions now is like, we have no idea what this season's going to look like. So who the hell knows what the teams are going to look like?
Well, that's the thing with how weird this season is and might be. Mm-hmm. I mean, even if, I'm not upset that Sewell's not there because the offense is kind of a, you know, we don't know what's going to happen with that offense at all. I mean, new quarterback.
Yep.
You might as well let him go and just work someone else in that's going to be there, you know, for a real season here next year.
Yeah.
And the thing with the O-line is, I mean, Sewell's not coming back, so they're going to be worse than they would have been if it started in September. Yeah. Totally get that. But the offensive line is going to look different because, you know, coming into last year, it was, hey, this might be the best offensive line in the nation. Mm-hmm. It probably wasn't. Top five easy, and Sewell was the best lineman easy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they were still kind of small.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't Chip Kelly era small, but they were still a little undersized. And if you just look at the depth chart,
a bunch of linemen who are 260 and running like 4.640s. Yeah.
But these guys are big. Yeah. They are.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they're any good.
Yeah, we'll see.
But they will look good when that huddle snaps and they go up to the line and it's, you know, UCLA on the other side.
Yeah.
And they're going to look good.
And Tyler Shuck, who's like 6'5", he's going to look super tiny next to him.
Do you guys remember any time of having like 6'9", 270-pound 18-year-olds come into campus?
It's like, no.
It's like this guy might not play still.
I just love how
they play basketball, dude.
Like some of their projects,
Bo Hartenstein.
2 years ago, they're bringing in like 3-star projects on the line that are 6'7", 380, and now they're just sculpted and cut.
Yes.
All right, I'm in. All right, Mario.
Well, you're 18 years old.
Yeah.
Really? Really? Okay. All right. Yeah, put on a helmet. Let's go.
Let's do it.
Jesus. Yeah, so, you know, here we are talking Duck football, so that makes me feel better. I'm okay with that already.
COVID Ducks.
Yeah, so who knows? We'll see. COVID Ducks going to win that ship. Let's go. Wouldn't that be perfect? The perfect time for Oregon to finally win that national title during COVID.
in front of no fans
whatsoever.
Well, I'm anticipating, you know, maybe we only get 3 games in. Somehow Washington goes 3-0.
Hang that banner.
Hang it. Don't forget, we didn't lose. Bams. 3-0. COVID champs.
Yes. Yes. That's such a Washington thing to do. Hang a banner going 3-0.
Hey, even 2-1, they might do it. That's
we gotta share that Pac-12 North title. Yeah, hang the banner.
The Tacoma News Tribune voted the number one, so they'll hang that banner.
Remember back in the day? It's so funny, by the way, on that note, seeing Wilner everywhere. Like, John Wilner is like a senior, like, go-to guy for knowledge about the Pac-12 conference now. Like, he is kind of the elder statesman of Pac-12 media people at this point. And remember back in the day when they used to release all the voters? I forget what the website was called, but they would release all the voters for the AP poll, and they would release how they voted. And then Wilner, every single week, would have the absolute worst poll out of anybody. He'd have teams that have no business being in the top 25, like in his top 10. And then he'd have teams like Oregon in, like, who were ranked like 6th at the time. He'd have them like 23rd or something like that. And so they would rank them, that website would, and he would consistently be the worst voter, like, listed. And now he's like this elder statesman media member who everybody goes to for all their information.
Well, hey, 2-3 in A&M team, that's a top 10 team. I mean, just look at them.
Look at the resume.
Look at them.
I mean, in fairness, he's one of the few remaining media members from 10 years ago.
From that era? I know.
Yeah, because newspapers are dead.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a shame about our local rag.
Once
the Baker family sold them, it kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
I like them. I like every single person who works there.
Good luck to Steve Mims, by the way.
Yeah.
On the new career choice.
Love me some Steve Mims. All right, so shall we shift to NBA? And you want to talk about your Lakers?
Oh, my forum blue and gold Lakers. Woo! Up 3-1. The league won't call a foul on LeBron James driving. So we throw in a complaint letter. And guess what? He shot like 14 tonight. Uh-huh. Being a Laker works, baby.
He has, I mean, of course, Denver has the Lakers exactly where they want them, though.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the Lakers up 3-1, that's Denver's bread and butter. So, you know. Well, Jokic played like garbage. I mean, he got in foul trouble, but, you know, you can't score like 16 and beat the Lakers. Like, Jamal Murray can't be the only guy to score for your team. So, and, you know, I mentioned this like at the end of the show last week. Like, I was all set the week before, like before we had to cancel the week because of the fires and stuff. I was all set to talk about how it's such a shame that Denver's never going to win anything, because I really like their team a lot. Like, they're really fun to watch. I really like Jamal Murray. I really like Jokic. I mean, Jokic, like those kid pictures that have been circulating of Jokic, like, he's the most relatable NBA player ever.
Chubby 12-year-old.
Chubby 12-year-old pictures of Jokic. He's so relatable. And he's just a fun player to watch. Like, their whole team is fun to watch. And so I remember, like, when the Clippers had him down 3-1, I'm like, oh, man, like, I really want to watch more of Denver. This sucks, because I really like watching this team. And then sure enough, you know, playing the character, Paul George, you know.
Pandemic B.
Yeah, and Kawhi just disappears, and all, like, nobody wants to talk about Kawhi Leonard choking in the playoffs for some reason. I don't understand why. But, yeah, like, so, you know, Denver, obviously they're going to lose to the Lakers. We're going to have the Heat and Lakers in the final. I don't know how I feel about that. But, yeah, it's a shame, because I like Denver, and I want them to be good. I don't think anybody's going to be able to beat this Lakers team. Like, as long as it's built the way it is.
The Nuggets aren't quite there. I mean, they're still starting fucking Paul Millsap. I mean, that guy should not be starting for any team in the NBA.
Hey, well,
yeah. Remember when the Blazers made a huge push for him? Yeah.
I know we're dogging on Paul Millsap. Yeah. Paul Millsap would be the third best Laker if he was on the Lakers. I'm just saying. The
whoa,
Lakers.
Whoa! Throwing shade at my boy Danny Green.
Oh shit!
He's like the worst player in the NBA right now.
The Lakers are. I think they're going to win it this year. I do.
Yeah, they should.
But woof! Hmm. After AD and LeBron, that roster stinks.
Well, who knows? Fucking rage on Rondo all of a sudden is going to come back and, like,
He's playoff Rondo.
Playoff Rondo, yeah.
He does that. Yeah, he does.
If he's not in the series, I mean, it might be 3-1 Denver right now.
They struggle, yeah.
So I did love in the last game, he had a steal that led in the early fourth quarter or whatever. He had a steal on Murray that led to a dunk by LeBron to cut the lead to, like, 2. Mm. People are like, oh, playoff Rondo. And they cut to commercial. And then they come right back on ESPN. And they're like, well, yeah, he did kind of grab both his arms, trip him. Mm-hmm. That's why he lost the ball. But playoff Rondo.
Playoff Rondo.
Playoff Rondo.
Playoff Rondo on the Lakers. That's what that is.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So,
though Lakers, I do think,
Lakers. Yeah, go
just,
ahead.
Just back on the Nuggets.
Mm-hmm.
They're not winning it this year.
No.
Duh. It's just not happening. I think they might win a title in the next few years, though.
I could see that. If the guys who are leading them right now keep developing.
Listen, I'm projecting way ahead. This is dumb. I don't know why I'm doing this.
Sure.
But next year, unless the Lakers get a third guy who's good, I don't see them. Look, I mean, just watch LeBron. It's natural. He's 35. Yeah. Some games he brings it. Some games he can't jump in the second half. Yeah. I just don't. I don't
I
know
think
what
he
they're.
Chooses not to.
That could be, and that, and you could
I
be
think
right.
I think
you could
LeBron
be right.
Is so smart that he knows he can mail it in. He can mail it in for 75% of the season, and even a couple playoff games, and still get to the finals.
Especially if you have Davis playing the way he's playing right now, you don't have to do it.
Exactly. Yeah.
But I just think the Nuggets, the Murray and Jokic, they're still ascending.
And even
the Clippers, if you read some of those reports about Paul George and the team not liking him, I don't trust the Rockets. I don't trust the Blazers. I don't trust the Jazz.
Yeah.
I think the Nuggets might be in a pretty good position.
Well, look
next year going forward.
Well, look at the next couple of years. You got to think maybe they dump Plumlee or Millsap and start giving Bol Bol some more minutes. I mean, they should have Barton coming in off the bench to give you some more points, which that second unit for them needs. Mm-hmm. And even though I don't really like him, Porter's going to develop a little more. He's got to learn how to play defense.
Yeah, physically, he's fucking there, man. He just needs to put together some actual skills.
He's
close, dude.
Yeah. They add some veteran in there to, fill a hole that they need. I would not be surprised if they at least make a finals in the next 3 years.
Yeah, I could easily see that. Especially as we talk about, LeBron's career kind of winding down. Yeah, the thing I don't appreciate, though, is a lot of people talking about, and you mentioned it too, him kind of like slowing down in the games. Like, I don't think he's to that point yet. Like, I don't think he's like physically dropping off. Like, I don't see what other people are seeing. Like, because he's still LeBron James. He's still going out there, hitting over 50% of his shots, like scoring, rebounding, playing, good defense when he wants to. So I just don't think, again, we talked about it. Like, I just don't think he has to do all that shit. Okay.
Right. Like, I don't think he's washed by any stretch. I don't think he'll be washed next year.
Is people are talking like he is. Like, he's old. He can't do it anymore. Of course he can fucking do it. Are you kidding me?
I just think he has to choose his spots.
9 rebounds, 8 assists. Well, he almost had a triple-double. Like, come on.
He does, because if you watch, he'll take maybe 5 to 7 possessions where he'll kind of just stay at the top of the key and just facilitate, but he's not expending much energy there.
No. Like, he doesn't have to do what he did with the Cavs.
This isn't young LeBron where he just needs, a bowl in a china shop to the rack every time. He can hang out and pass, and especially with AD now.
Yeah, if I was a real Lakers fan, some of those possessions that he kind of takes off would bug me, because he just falls everyone's just like 2 or 3 possessions a game where he falls into that trap where he just pounds the ball, dribble, 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 and then he looks up and sees there's 3 seconds left on the shot clock and throws it across the court to like KCP. He's like, dude, when I catch it, no time. What do you want me to do with this?
He just had to chuck a 3. Yeah.
I mean, is this looking like a team if they dealt Kuzma instead of like Ingram, so they actually have an actual third player?
They're nasty.
I mean, he could take this time off and the offense loses nothing. Because
it's amazing, and it could be spin, but you've heard it from way too many sources that Kuzma was the guy they wanted to keep in that trade. Mm-hmm. Good God. And maybe they probably couldn't have kept Ingram. Maybe that's just the thing, because he was the star of that trade. But good Lord, Kuzma, you are –
Because that's what they're missing.
Join AD TikTok, comes off dude.
The court. AD comes off the court. He comes in to be like the number two.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of possessions where they try to run a lot of stuff through him. He's just not that good. This isn't that 2 years ago Lakers where he was dropping like 25 a night because he was the only one that could actually score a fucking basket.
By the way, putting Dwight Howard and Anthony Davis in the same lineup is kind of unfair. Like, just height-wise and experience-wise and ability-wise defensively and on the glass. Like, that's tough. Like, if you Jokic is kind of soft in terms of big man already, but if you're expecting him to go up against those, like, both of them, like, and, he's going against Howard and picking up fouls guarding Howard, like, you're in trouble. Like, I don't know. I don't know how you go up against that, honestly.
Speaking of Howard, I saw this today online, and I don't remember who it was, but it was a respectable NBA voice. If I remembered the name, you would know the name.
Okay.
And his point was, I love Jokic. Mm-hmm. Jokic is killing it. But prime Dwight Howard was better than Jokic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was he?
Yeah, I think so. Like dominance-wise, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I think Jokic on his team does more. He has an outside game where Dwight did not. But
well, clearly Dwight was much better on defense.
In terms of, yeah, defense, on the glass, at big man stuff. You know, playing around the hoop on offense too. I would take. Ooh, that's tough, actually.
Well, that was kind of.
It depends on what kind of team you have, which guy you'd prefer. You know,
that was early Jokic, though. That's what they try to do with him. They try to make him like a low post player. He's just not a low post player. That's his thing. He's a ball. He's a passer. I mean, it's
yes. He's Sabonis.
He turned better once they let him loose like that.
Yep. By the way, I just did some math. Danny Green in this series, 9 of 34 from the field, 25%, 6 of 21 from 3. That guy starts for the Lakers. Well,
I mean, if you watch him, his special message on the back of his jersey is how many more. And every time I see it, I just think,
how many more threes?
Shots, yeah. Shots you going to miss?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was one of the better moments of the bubble.
It was.
When someone dropped that meme on it.
That meme, yep.
That was so good.
That was when they were playing the Blazers, right?
That was game one.
I think that's Surface game one against the Blazers. Yeah. Yeah. All right, any other NBA? Like, are we buying the Heat at all? Because I'm still confused. Crappy. I'm still confused about how the Heat are going to be in the NBA Finals. Like, I'm still confused by that. But here we are.
They shoot very well from three.
Jimmy Butler all of a sudden woke up.
They play good defense. And yes, Bam Adebayo is just a weird mismatch.
Yeah.
They'll lose the Lakers, but.
Yeah.
When you got the two white guys, or I guess three white guys with Dragic just burying threes on you all day, they're a tough team.
Oh, I loved game three at the end. When
Dragic Celtics, is like a forgotten guy, man.
The Boston Celtics at the end of game three were running around with five black guys, and the Miami Heat had four white guys and Myers Leonard cheering. And I was like, what a role reversal! Right? Boston doesn't have a single white dude. Boston fans must hate watching this.
They got the prototypical white guy in Gordon Hayward.
Ew, oh, man, jeez.
And Theus, I mean, he's. He's
hipster,
like
hipster left. Hayward.
Yeah.
Get that guy to Portland, fuck's sake. He's built for Portland.
Barbershop quartet ass. Yeah, mustache. No,
he's got the hair, he's got the beard, he's got the leg injury. He's like perfect for Portland.
He definitely would ride one of those like sit down bicycles to the arena. Yeah.
Like all the time.
He wears a clean belt to the beach, you know, around his waist.
He plays 20 minutes a game.
Yeah, Marcus Smart, pass me the ball.
He rides the bike for 40 minutes. Marcus Smart, pass me the ball. Come on, fella. I got some threes to shoot over here.
No, the funny thing about the Celtics, though, is that they're going to – I feel pretty safe in saying they're going to lose this series. But before the series started – the consensus was that an NBA team led by a Brad and a Gordon were going to get to the NBA Finals. A Brad and a Gordon.
Never.
One never looks like a substitute math teacher, and the other one has a barbershop quartet mustache. And they both went to Butler, Indiana. God damn, we're dumb. Sports are stupid.
Sports are stupid.
And now Tyler Hero is like the blackest guy on the court.
Oh, yeah.
It's just great. Dropping. Those memes about him are just amazing.
Oh, so good.
Guy drops 37 off the bench. All right, to the NFL. Without further ado, did you guys catch Fitzmagic tonight?
Dolphins, Jags. Yeah. Well, I can't say I did.
Yeah, at the same time as the Lakers Nuggets.
I flipped to it a couple times.
Uh-huh.
I flipped to it at the end of the first quarter of Lakers Nuggets, and it was 21-3 Dolphins, and I went, or 21-7, whatever it was. And I went, yeah, I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really hard to care. Really hard.
The one nugget I mined from that game was I saw a graphic of Gardner Minshew today without the headband.
Huh.
And now I totally understand. Because Gardner Minshew has been on our radar for now 3 seasons, right?
Yeah.
Wazoo, rookie season this year.
Yeah.
I get why every year his headband is growing by an inch and a half. That dude's hairline is bad.
Hey, take it easy. Take it easy on hairlines.
He's like 22, man.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like his hairline is what LeBron's was.
Yeah.
Like his second stint in Cleveland when people were making so much fun of the expanding headband that he finally just had to ditch it.
Before LeBron started like moving hair from his ass to his
top of
his
head. Well, yeah, well, when you're rich, you can do those things.
Yeah, totally. I'm with it.
But yeah, it's I mean, he's about 18 months away from a skullet. Gardner Minshew.
He's going to go with the Shawn Michaels headband or whatever.
Yes. Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Because I first noticed it, there's that really overdone ESPN commercial where they're like, and we're all coming back to me now.
Uh-huh.
And he's at the very end. And I was like, damn, his headband starts at like.
It's a big headband.
Where my hairline starts.
Uh-huh.
And it goes all the way back. And then I saw the image. I was like, oh, I get it.
It all makes sense now.
I get it.
I'm currently looking at a picture of Ryan Fitzpatrick at the post-game interview for tonight's game. And he is a phenomenal specimen of a man. He's obviously got the beard flowing. He is wearing a tucked-in Hawaiian shirt, aloha shirt if you ask a Hawaiian person, that has pineapples all over it, different colored pineapples, like green, purple, blue, and he has the top three buttons of the shirt open. And his chest hair is, it's almost like there, it's a line from the bottom of his, from the underneath his nose, it's like a line of hair that extends into the shirt and just flows. It's like Fitz magic. That's Fitz magic right there. It is.
The thing about Fitz magic though is like, I don't know, 6 years ago when he was the Buffalo Bills quarterback, that beard made sense. But now that he's like 5 years into being in Tampa and Miami, like what a commitment to that beard, because it's pretty humid there. It's pretty sticky.
Yeah.
You're still rocking that thing.
That's going to be a pass for me as well, but I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's his marketing. So whatever marketing gigs he gets, it's because of that beard. So you got to keep it on. Yeah, I don't know. He doesn't have any national things, obviously, but I don't know. Maybe he has some stuff going on in Miami. He should.
Quarterback. Oh, he's got a couple car dealership ads for sure.
I would hope so. I hope he owns a car dealership.
Actually, knowing him, he might have some like boat deals down there. You know.
Fuck yes, he does.
You know, he's pitching fucking yachts and stuff. That's how Fitzmagic would roll.
And then he's wearing the clothes that he wore for that post game interview. When he's selling boats and he's got his boat shoes on and, you know, the khaki shorts with the aloha shirt tucked in. It's just beautiful. It's beautiful. He needs a chain. I mean, if you're going to be in Miami, you got to have a chain, but you know,
pinky ring, maybe.
You can't be perfect. He ain't Jesus. So NFL.
Speaking of Jesus, Justin Herbert.
Yeah. Good call. Nice transition. So in one of the more fucked up ways to start a football game in the history of the NFL, Justin Herbert gets to start because Tyrod Taylor's team doctor stabbed him in the chest and punctured his lung.
Straight fucking Pulp Fiction on him.
Just. Are you kidding me? So apparently this has happened before in the NFL. But I think one of my buddies was telling me like it happened to a Niners guy in the 90s or something like that. I have no recollection of it at all. But you're given – so one, So I know this happens all the time in the NFL, but the thought of giving a cortisone injection on a rib just terrifies the shit out of me. Like, somebody doing that to me, like sticking a big ass fucking cortisone shot needle into my rib, like into my chest cavity. Like, no. That's going to be a pass. Like, no, thank you. And then to do that and puncture the dude's lung, like, that's worst case scenario. And now Tyrod Taylor probably lost his job because of it.
Here's a quick question, though.
Sooner than he would have.
Wouldn't you think maybe they do this, like, day before, you know, night before?
Yeah, not right before kickoff. Because
those cortisone shots, you know, they stick around for a little bit, you know. I don't think he needs it 30 minutes before game time.
Well, yeah. I mean, he probably got a Toradol the day before. They were just topping it off with the cortisone.
Yeah. That's fair. So were you nervous a little bit there, King?
Watching, no, never a doubt.
Watching Herbo run down and score. No, by the way, Herbo needs to die. Chargers, no Herbo. No one has ever said Herbo, nor should they ever say Herbo. Holy shit, it's terrible. Jesus. Ugh.
I mean, I was never nervous.
It reminds, by the way, real quick, before we move on from that, it reminds me of when the Blazers Twitter got mad at people for saying Zers. Like, Zers is awesome. Like, everybody loves Zers. And then whoever was running the Twitter account for the Blazers was like, stop saying Zers. It's dumb. It's like, no, you're dumb. You don't understand your fan base. Shut up. Herbo? Really? God.
Herbo sounds like, was it like the old Marx Brothers, like Zippo?
Harpo?
Like,
yeah.
Herbo and Herbo. That's like, you know? Yeah, fucking Herbo.
No, you're mixing up Marx Brothers with the Three Stooges. Like, no, but yeah, that's who you're talking about. But doing like the
The one guy had like the little like whistle. He didn't talk.
Ah. That's right.
Yeah, okay. He had a little slide whistle.
Touché. The guy who didn't talk. Yeah. All right, fair enough. My bad. So were you feeling nervous? I know you got the best kicker in the NFL.
No, I wasn't nervous because. Mm-hmm. So the Chargers are just an annoying team to play. I think Kansas City has beat them like 14 out of the last 15 times.
Doesn't matter who the quarterback is. They're all
no, better. But since Anthony Lynn has been there, they're just annoying. They play the team deep. They make the game annoying and ugly.
Yeah.
But I wasn't nervous because I knew eventually what would happen is what would happen. Mahomes is Steph Curry, and he would just throw a 70-yard bomb out of his ass, and then shimmy around, and then the game's over. They'll still be down. They'll be down still, but the game is over.
But here's the thing. My buddy had he had like a 17 parlay going. That was the last 17 game.
17 parlay.
17 parlay. So it was a nice hit for him. Christ. And, you know, getting towards the end of the game, you know, with the Oregon Aces or the Oregon Sports Lottery, could get a nice little lad revenue there. Hit us up.
Theme?
No, seven. Seven.
Oh,
no,
I'm like,
seven.
He did what?
No. But so it's coming down there in the, you know, I think it was the beginning of the fourth quarter. And he's like, they had a bet back option. You know, it's like, you know, I think it was like 90% of the money he would win. And I said, fuck, let it ride. You know, at this point in that game, you know the Chiefs are going to win.
Yeah.
And then even when it got closer, when they got the ball back down three in that last possession, it was damn near like even money again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everyone knew the Chiefs were going to win that game still, like in the fourth quarter.
And then people were giving Lynn crap for not going for it on fourth down from his own 35-yard
line. Oh, I'm still giving crap.
If you go for that, though, you're already in field goal range.
Right. Well, okay. But here's the thing is it's fourth and one.
Yeah.
You can't lose if Kansas City doesn't have the ball.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you punt it to the best quarterback.
Yeah.
And for a kicker who can bang it from 60.
There's an argument there, yes. But I'm saying you knock them back inside the 10 and then you rely on defense because it's the NFL and your defense has been doing pretty fucking good against the Chiefs like all game.
They were slowing
they
down.
They were gassed. I get it.
That's the thing. Yeah. It's the same thing we saw in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And they even mentioned that like mid third quarter. They were like, Yeah,
what happened in the Super Bowl? I don't remember that.
Yeah, my team won.
What?
And your team is now dead.
Did they play? Yeah, they really are.
But they were like, you know, it's Kansas City kind of does like the almost like the fast break press basketball thing, mm-hmm. where teams can stick with you for 80% of the game, but at the end their legs are gone, and it's not that you're just going to run roughshod, but it just takes that one play where the guy who's been sticking with the receiver all day is just a bit tired, too slow.
Yeah, and then you're running against Tyreek Hill, who's the fastest guy on earth.
Would you equate it to like first year or two of Chip with Oregon? I mean,
yeah, kind of
run up and down. Those teams get tired there in the second half, and that's kind of when he liked to strike.
Because like I you know, I've mentioned this before with you guys that I mean Tyreek Hill is not the best wide receiver in the NFL. No,
yes, he runs terrible routes.
He might be top 10, maybe. You know, yeah, he's top 10.
He's really hard to guard for 4 quarters, though.
But. Is he not the scariest guy to see run at you 35 times a game right at your chest? Because all it takes is that one time for him to break off and you're toast.
That's why leading up to the NFL draft, I wanted the Niners to get that Ruggs guy from Alabama because he is basically Tyreek Hill. You know, he's like 5'6", but runs a 4.140. And in like you, that's useful in the NFL because nobody else is that fast.
Can't teach speed.
No, and the thing with Tyreek is, for as small as he is,
speed.
Is he does go up and make tough catches.
Sure does.
He sure does.
Yeah.
But wrapping this back around to a more germane subject, Justin Herbert looked good.
He sure did.
He did. Sure he threw some dimes.
Mm-hmm.
He ran the ball pretty well. I don't know if you saw that exchange between him and Mahomes at the end of the game.
Made good decisions, yeah.
Mahomes was telling him, he was like, dude, way to go. You're going to play for a long time. Stop running into people.
Yes. Oh, which, by the way, the hit in the end zone was super late. Are you kidding me? He's like, he's in the end zone. Yeah. And dude, like, lowers his shoulder into him.
They're, like, calling the touchdown, congratulating the rookie, and then he gets
then he gets drilled. Like, what?
Yeah, welcome to the NFL, kid.
Yeah. Speaking of that, by the way, as I now transition to my Niners, Jimmy Garoppolo, did you see the play he got hurt on?
Yeah.
So he's dropping back, gets hit from behind, which, by the way, if you get hit from behind on the lower leg, that's a penalty in the NFL, drops down to his knee. While he's on his knee for a full 2 seconds, another defender comes up and tackles him. I'm like, and no flag of any kind on the play. I'm like, Jimmy is a quarterback, right? Like, we're supposed to throw flags that help protect quarterbacks, right? I was really confused. And I know I'm like a homer talking about my team here, but that is as blatant a penalty as I've ever seen.
They were playing the Jets.
Yeah, so the rest were kind of zoning out. Like, yeah,
nothing mattered.
Yeah, right. You're right. So should we talk about Herbert a little bit more? Like, I know I've transitioned already.
Well, what do you guys think of what he said post-game? Just like, was it kind
did he
of?
Say something?
No, Lynn, the coach. Kind of like,
gotcha.
Was he kind of throwing him under the bus a little bit there, or was he?
Well,
he was protecting his team doctor because his team doctor injured his starting quarterback, and that's a shitty way to lose your starting job by the doctor stabbing you in the chest.
Yeah, like so, when I first read his comments, I was like, boy, what? Feels a little extra. I get that it's a vet and you've worked with him on other teams. I get it. But it'll feel a little much.
Yeah.
But then when you know why, I'm like, okay, now I get it. Okay.
My exact same thought, yeah. You can't say anything else if you're him.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's a lot easier to say Tyrod is your starter when you know.
Yeah, when you know he's going to be out for a couple weeks.
He ain't your starter.
Yeah, and by that time, you hope Herbert continues to play like he has been.
Yeah.
Yeah. God, it's so fucked up, man.
The one thing about that game that just killed me was hopping on Twitter and seeing, like, it did not matter West Coast, Midwest, Southeast, all these college football pundits that you would know, with Stuart Mandel, Bruce Feldman, Andy Staples, whatever. And they're like, wow, look what Justin Herbert can do with a creative offensive coordinator.
Too soon.
Go Rebels.
Too soon. Yeah. So, yeah, my entire NFL franchise is injured. It was funny because going into the game, they were already without stars. And, you know, Sherman was on IR, Debo's on IR, Kittle was out with his ligament injury in his knee. And then Garland, their starting center, was out. And so Hronus Grasu was playing center for them, who they signed to the practice squad 2 weeks ago. And then you go into that game and you lose your starting quarterback, your top two running backs, your starting defensive end. Oh, yeah, by the way, Ford was out as well going into the game. Starting defensive end, starting defensive tackle. Dre Greenlaw, starting outside linebacker, also out. I feel like I'm missing somebody. Well, basically the whole starting lineup is injured at this point for San Francisco. And they're still probably going to go 3-1 because they're playing the Giants. The Giants are terrible with Saquon Barkley. Now they don't have Saquon Barkley. Then they play the Eagles. The Eagles are a fucking dumpster fire right now somehow. I have no idea how, but they are. And then they play the Dolphins. So the Dolphins, Fitzmagic, so there's always
a chance.
I'm saying that's the one game.
It'll be October. Fitzmagic will be over.
And here's the deal. They're going to have, you know, Debo, Kittle, Sherman. They're going to have those guys back at that point. Garoppolo's going to be back.
Mostert should be back in a week or two, too.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah, they're saying Mostert's like a couple weeks, and then they're saying Tevin Coleman's like a little worse, apparently. Yeah. So he might be put him on IR.
Which is unfortunate on my team because I go Jimmy G and Mostert.
On your fantasy team?
Yeah.
You're an idiot. I like you, Ski, but you're an idiot.
Mostert is the fourth-ranked running back playing a game, like a game and a half.
Yeah, he has two. He has two really good plays.
Yeah, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
speaking of fantasy.
So okay, real quick. So the only two guys who are going to be gone the whole season, for sure, are Bosa and Solomon Thomas. And if D Ford plays fucking at all at any point this season, I would feel okay about their defense and everything else. Like I'd honestly feel fine about this team. But no, I don't. I see D Ford playing five games, maybe. Like that trade was dog shit, man.
Are you not all aboard the Mullins train? Everyone, like, apparently
people on Facebook are still saying Mullins should start over Garoppolo in general. Like I can't deal with 49ers fans right now. Like I can't do it. That's just ludicrous. All right, fantasy, whatever.
Oh, I was just going to say, another year of fantasy football for me blown up. Thank you, Christian McCaffrey's ankle.
Yeah, by the way, my first pick in my fantasy team was Saquon. So I'm feeling your pain there. Yeah. Well, McCaffrey's not going to be gone for that long, is he?
4 to 6 weeks.
4 to 6 week ankle injury.
Yeah, you should see all the trade offers I'm getting. People are like, I'll give you LeGarrette Blount. Yeah. And
I'll give you Royce Freeman.
This guy's not even in the league. Get out of here.
By the way, Royce Freeman might be a good pickup because he's apparently Denver's backup quarterback right now.
Yeah,
I saw that. If you've been paying attention to them, he's actually their emergency quarterback. Because they had one on their roster when Locke went down.
Do you remember Royce Freeman's one college pass?
Ooh. No. I don't.
He completed it.
Yeah.
To someone in a pink helmet.
Uh-huh.
And they fumbled at the one. Forced by a guy. Yep,
Mariota?
Yeah, forced by a guy named Scooby.
Yeah,
and they counted the touchdown even though it shouldn't have been because they were like, God, this guy's a Heisman, and Oregon still lost anyway.
Yeah, you got to give him that receiving touchdown.
Yep.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, the ball protection from Mariota there was pretty suspect.
A little bit.
Cam Colvin-esque.
It's kind of a running thing for him now that we look back on it. Now that Mariota's career is effectively over,
he's
not the best at protecting the football.
Oh, Duck fan saying he should start for the Raiders. Like, yeah, and then the Raiders go out and beat the Saints, and Carr just kind of shreds them.
Well, it is nice having a guy you just hand the ball to 30 times a game.
Oh, we do got to talk about the Raiders, by the way. Because, you know, Khalil Mack – so Mack was apparently a Pro Bowler last year. And I had somebody tell me that, but he didn't do shit last year. What, do you have, like 8 sacks or something like that? I don't even know how that happened.
Numbers.
Yeah, but he – so essentially what I'm getting to is since the trade, Khalil Mack has not been Khalil Mack.
No, like, that first year he was really good.
Yeah, sure. But, you know, he's dropping off. And so, you know, and the Raiders are where they are right now. The Raiders are 2-0, and they just beat the Saints. And so I don't know how good the Saints actually are, you know, without Michael Thomas or whatever. But, you know, Gruden, I'm not saying. I'm just saying he might be a good coach.
Well, have fun finding second place in your division, Gruden.
Yeah.
Good luck. Have fun.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see.
This is now Patriots territory in the AFC West, where the Chiefs are kind of just going to win it for a very long time.
Yeah, that's true. It's a good point. All right, shall we do our list?
Let's do it.
What is our list? Do you want to present this one, Ski?
Things usually the go-to list.
No, yeah. this is your list, man. Your
bread and butter, brother. Right.
Well, in honor of the old Road Dog, or Road Dog.
Jesse James?
Ex-Legion of Doom Road Warrior Animal passing. We're going to do our top three wrestlers of all time.
And you mentioned it before we started recording. This was fun. Like, this was actually fun. Because I got, like, wrestling trivia coming up, too. Like, this was fun to look through. Because I think we've all of us at about the same time, the 90s, early 2000s was just a sweet spot for wrestling. Oh. And going back into that and looking into it, like, yeah, so fun.
The old Attitude Era where it's just like big tits getting thrown around and dudes throwing each other off cages. It was
so good. Yeah, hitting each other, like, yeah, Mankind landing on thumbtacks for some reason. Like, that wasn't necessary. Well, like, I know it was cool. It's legendary. It was like,
he didn't. Was it necessary to have, like, an 80-year-old woman's, like, tits out? And, I mean,
yeah,
they gave no shits during that.
You got me there. Yeah. You got me there. All right, so.
Remember when Chyna did Playboy?
Yep.
Remember Playboy?
She did a porn. Like, Chyna was a porn star for a while.
Good for her.
Yeah, you got to make that money. Hand job is still a job.
Especially in this economy.
Oh, yeah, this economy.
In Biden's America.
Yeah, in Biden. Joe Hyden.
All right. You get to start this one, Ski.
All right. There you go. My number three. You guys hear that?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. How about now? Better? My number three is the Bushwhackers. I didn't necessarily love them, but they were hilarious that this idea of two, like, I forget where they're, like, you know, backwood country dudes that would come out, like, with their weird, they had a weird walk where they would, like, raise their hand, like, in front of their face like this, and then lick people's faces. I mean, that is the epitome of that was kind of like early 90s wrestling right there.
Yeah.
So that is my number three.
I'm just looking at a picture of him right now.
Oh yeah.
It's a classic. Classic. All right, King, you go. By the way, I didn't know we were able to do tag teams as one.
Oh, definitely.
So I'm quickly like reevaluating my list. So
my number three, only because I saw him at Old Kemper Arena as a young boy. Brutus the Barber, Beefcake.
You saw him as in you went to a wrestling match?
Oh, I did, yeah.
Or, yeah, nice.
Yeah, I did. This is before, you know, wrestling was – it was super racist and gross at the time. Like, you know, we're talking like 1991 or something here.
Yeah. I mean, there's like wrestlers named like Mandingo and like yes. They were taking anyone that looked relatively Asian and calling them like Yokozuna.
Yeah, the Ugandan giant who was from, you know, Montana.
Oh man.
Yokozuna is like Hawaiian. He's not Japanese.
Yeah, yeah. God, who was the wrestler back in the day who they like, they literally dressed him up in like African tribe stuff, African tribal makeup and shit like
there's
that.
There's a lot.
He was like a savage or whatever.
Yeah, are you talking about Kamala?
Am I?
Kamala the Ugandan giant?
Maybe.
I'm pretty sure.
I think he was from like Detroit.
Yes, he was very much not like, from Africa.
Hey, motherfucker, I just got to
not anywhere on that continent. He like, was whatever. Very much, yeah.
Kamala the Ugandan giant. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
That's him.
So racist.
By the way, he died of COVID. So, yeah.
Yeah, ooh. Fairly recently, yeah.
Yeah, that was like a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. So my three is going to be the Hardy Boys. I fucking love the Hardy Boys. They were the first ones I saw do all the like the ladder jumps onto tables and shit like that. Like they were so fun. Like so now that we're adding, you know, tag teams into this, I'm not leaving the Hardy Boys off this list cuz they were fucking fantastic. By the way, does that mean we can do like all of Degeneration X in one?
You do whatever you want.
Okay. Okay.
Well, to go off of your number three, you like the tables and the ladders and the chairs.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you these guys as my number two. And that is the Dudley Boys.
Yep. Yep.
Because especially in high school, we had some friends that their favorite things to do was to try to give people the 3D.
Yeah,
one would run up and lift someone up, and someone else would come flying in. King was, I think, was involved with that.
Oh yeah,
come flying in with like a stunner after someone got lifted up.
Bubba Ray and D-Von.
And I mean, could you not have a better tag team of one black guy and one white guy who are, you know, brothers. Brother
Ebony
D-Von.
And Ivory. Come on, man.
Exactly.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. They are a microcosm of what society should be. The Dudley Boys. Good call, man. All right, who you got for two, King?
My number two, because he was ahead of his time.
Yeah.
He was edgy in a time of smooth edges. He was progressive in a time of George W. Bush. I'm talking about Gold Dust.
Legit wondering if somebody was gonna do Gold Dust.
I was looking at Gold Dust.
Just
too.
What a shtick.
Oh, it's so good.
What a shtick.
Oh, like the most it would be so uncomfortable every time he was on camera.
So weird.
Oh my god. The
gold wig, gold, you know, gold makeup all over him, just like rubbing himself up and down like in the corner of the ring.
So weird.
All right, now I'm having a hard time now that we're adding entire organizations into this, because we got, you know, we got NWO, we got Degeneration X. You kind of can't have a list without them on it, but also you got like fucking Goldberg, Sting, you know, The Rock, Stone Cold. Like, this is difficult now.
I was going to say, you sound like you were a WCW guy back in the day when it was the battles, the network battles.
Fuck yeah, dude. Goldberg and Sting, man. Like, that was the shit. I'm going to go, my number two is going to be NWO. Like, and I'm not going to go into more of it because it might be included in trivia later, but yeah, NWO, if you followed wrestling, their click was legit and awesome and widespread. Like, they added some really, like, a bunch of really cool dudes over the years.
I wish I didn't have another.
Obviously, it started out with a few good ones, but yeah.
I wish I didn't have this next guy's queued up because the end of the wolf pack.
Oh, had, like, don't turn your back on the wolf pack.
Yeah.
You might end up in a body bag. Do-do-do-do-do-do.
I would say almost half of good wrestlers is because they have awesome entrance music.
Yes.
It just like gets you going.
Marketing.
Right.
Marketing, totally.
I mean, I'll preface this by saying I probably haven't watched wrestling in 18 years. Maybe kind of right at the end of the Attitude Era, you know.
Yep.
Maybe or 2000. Yeah, but at least back then, that stuff was awesome.
Yes, it was.
All right. So my number one, we're going kind of old. This is 80s through the 90s with this. I know you guys will know this. Here you go. Well, hold on a sec.
Uh-oh. Technical difficulties. Uh-oh.
All right, here we go. And that would be the music for Piper's Pit, baby. On top of that, he was an actual actor as well. Like, he was in, like, a handful of episodes of Always Sunny, and he was in such a good movie called They Live with Keith David. Watch that movie if you haven't seen it. It's so good.
I'm into it. You got to go with a legend on this list at some point. All right, who's your one, brother?
My number one?
Number one.
Can't quite.
You can't quite hear that.
Oh, it's okay. It's all right.
Is that Stone Cold, though?
It's Stone Cold. He was just so good.
It has to be Stone Cold.
And he's so cool now.
He is. Yeah, just chilling in his backyard drinking wine.
Yeah, just hopping on Facebook and just talking shit to a bunch of racist people.
Owning racists. Yeah, you gotta love it.
He'll just rock his, like, jean shorts.
He'll get this really deep societal point about systemic racism, police brutality, and they'll top it off and be like, and that's what the rattlesnake said.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so. All right, this is difficult.
Here's some thinking music for you.
All
right. There you go.
This is tough because part of me wants to go Cena because I'm not a fan of Cena wrestling wise per se, but he is such a good dude. Like, in real life, just a really good guy. Like, he's been funny in a couple of movies and things like that. The Rock is really cool, obviously, too. Just a good dude. But D-Generation X is it. You can't fuck with that. You can't fuck with that roster. X-Pac and Road Dogg.
X-Pac!
You can't fuck with that. Triple H, when he was cool.
Can we...
Shawn Michaels was in that crew too, wasn't he?
Can we come to a consensus that as far as late 90s wrestling goes, as far as star power goes in the late 90s, this guy was awful and super overrated, and his name is Bill Goldberg.
Interesting.
Awful. Watch a Goldberg intro, and all it is they light off flames, and he just walks out, and then just spits water at some point. That's it. And goes.
And he wore the basic black underwear.
And then he just spears someone after 10 minutes. That's it. Goldberg, you sucked.
Wow.
It was a terrible shtick. It was terrible because look at the people he was going around with, you know? I mean, we're talking about the NWO Hulkster. They're coming down. The Rock is ascending. And then there's like, hey, let's send out this big buff Jewish guy to just spit out water.
Bill Goldberg and Associates. Yeah,
Bill,
here.
William, Goldberg, William Goldberg.
I got a couple, honorable mentions just from a pure shtick thing around the time.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Val Venus,
ooh.
Which is one of the funnier angles ex-porn star guy comes out in a towel.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, wiggles his hips around.
Oh, my God. Val Venus. Mm-hmm. Wrestling had some unbelievable characters.
I do love, like, we're just talking about how, you know, wrestling still kind of does, but not as much, was just dripping in, like, pretty blatant racism and misogyny and all that, which, hey, I was a part of. I get it. But like Tatanka. He was born in Michigan. Just a white guy from Michigan. Yeah. And they're like, hey, get a tan. We'll call you Tatanka. You're the Buffalo. Let's just do it.
Do you also remember there was the time when they had a group called the Nation of Domination, where they essentially just took all their black wrestlers and stuck them together to be, like, you know, the militant black, you know, group.
God, it's so bad. I mean,
it's just, whatever, think of stereotype, they hit it somewhere in the last, you know, 30 years. It's been done.
By the way, I'm looking at Booker T's his Wikipedia right now. So I don't know if you know this about Booker T, but he went by a couple of different ring names other Harlem than Booker Heat. T. Do you know a couple of those?
I said Harlem Heat.
Yeah, so there's that. He was known as G.I. Bro.
New list next week. We come up with the most racist stereotypical names from wrestling.
Bro.
No, he was also known as Black Snow.
What? Good God, Vince! Could you not hide it a little bit?
Oh, this had to be WCW then.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's
Eric Bischoff.
Bischoff. Oh yeah. Fuck. Fucking that Bischoff. Guy. Bischoff. Wow.
God, I think how do we not just turn into a wrestling podcast now?
I know. I think we just discovered something here.
I think Friday Night SmackDown on Fox starts in a week.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. We can transition.
Amazing. All right, two trivia. Of course, as I said earlier, it is wrestling trivia. I actually had to mark off. I'm glad I did more than 10 questions because I had to cross a couple off because we had already talked about the answers to a couple of them. So... this is probably going to be really easy for you guys. We'll see, though. Who won last week?
We had two last week.
Yeah. Was it a split?
We split.
It was split. Yeah. Split.
Okay, so who wants to go first this week?
King's the reigning champ of Ohio, so he's got that moniker for him.
All right. I think we should let Ski, do the honors this time because wrestling is his thing, so let's just get this over with as soon as possible.
I think, I haven't watched wrestling in 20 years.
Oh, you're going to know every single answer to these questions.
I'll kill this. Yeah.
All right. What does WWE stand for?
WWE stands for World Wrestling Entertainment.
That is true. Correct.
Jeez, you were wrong about easy. Jesus.
Yeah, I know. King, what is the name of Bret Hart's signature move?
Four Horsemen.
No. Do you know this off the top of your head?
Sharpshooter.
Yeah, that's correct. I love this so much. All right. Let's see. Which wrestler famously coined, Ski, to be the man, you got to beat the man?
Oh, God.
I think I know this one.
Oh, God. I'm going to go with, I can picture him too, but why can't I think of his name? Fuck. I'm going to go, that's wrong. I'll go, Shawn Michaels.
That is incorrect.
Yeah, it's wrong.
All right, King, your options. Triple H, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, or Ric Flair?
Ric Flair.
That is correct. Figured you might kick yourself for that one. King, John Cena is famous for wearing this amazingly stylish piece of clothing in the ring.
Shorts?
Yep. Famous for jorts.
That's good stuff.
Go Gators.
Not the first. Not the first. But it's definitely his go-to. Yeah. All right, Skeet, because I saw you were about to correct me on that one. Skeet, in 2014, The Undertaker had his 21-match unbeaten streak at WrestleMania ended by this wrestler.
Shawn Michaels.
Nope. King, your options. Shawn Michaels, Kane, or Brock Lesnar?
What was the year again?
2014.
Kane?
Incorrect.
Was it Lesnar?
There's Brock Lesnar, yeah. All right. Let's see. So this one is King again.
I was going to keep saying Shawn Michaels, by the way, until I get one.
Yeah, right. One of these has to be him. Isn't
Kane
wrestler,
like a governor in Ohio now or something?
Yeah. Yeah. I think so, actually.
Something like that, yeah.
Mayor or something. Yeah.
Yeah, mayor. He's a mayor. Yeah. Sorry. Proceed. Yeah,
I'll find that out. Let's see. This is King, right? Yeah. So which wrestler famously slammed Andre the Giant at WrestleMania 3?
Hulk Hogan?
Yes. So, by the way, the score right now is 3-2, King with the lead. I just like to point that out.
Shawn Michaels.
Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, it's not Shawn Michaels. Is it a jackal? It's a jackal. Is it a jackal? It's a jackal. all right, Ski. Vince McMahon obviously owns WWF and WWE. Actually, not WWF, because that's like a World Wildlife
Foundation.
He doesn't own that. But who was the owner of WCW?
Eric Bischoff, isn't it? Or is he?
It was not. King, your options. David Hurst, Donald Trump, Ted Turner.
Ted Turner.
Yep. Ted Turner.
Yeah.
He named Bischoff his GM or whatever after he got denied by the WWF. Still trying to find out. So let's see. Kane is mayor of Knox County, Tennessee. So
the Vols.
You can't unknow that now. Yeah, right on topic. All right, so who is this now? This is Ski?
Or King.
King, yeah. Who were the three original members of NWO?
There's no way I'm getting this. I'll say, I know I'm not getting this. Just let me run to the next.
Yeah, I know. It's fine.
Kevin Nash, Razor Ramon, and Triple H.
Incorrect. All right. Your option, Ski. It's going to get kind of convoluted here. Hogan, Big Show, Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, Hogan, Kevin Nash, Hogan, Sting, Ted DiBiase.
Not the third one. What was the second one? Was it
Hogan? Scott Hall, Hogan, and Kevin Nash.
I'll go with that one.
That is correct.
But what was
the talk about a fucking lineup, by the way.
What was the name of the little Spitfire Mexican guy that they trotted that was in NWO?
It wasn't Mysterio.
No. He had his own thing. I didn't watch WCW, so I didn't really, but he had the Viva La Raza. It was like
the bald guy?
Yeah.
Viva La Raza.
It might have been like Puerto Rican.
It wasn't Eddie Guerrero, no.
No, it wasn't Eddie Guerrero.
Naming all the
Hispanic wrestlers.
Yeah, this is a bad one. We should know this.
La Raza wrestler. You can actually hear me Googling.
Yeah.
All right, so we are all tied up.
I remember now. I think it was Conan.
Conan. Or was it Conan?
Conan.
I think it was Conan.
Yeah. It was good stuff, man. He had he wore the wife beater with the.
Yes, again, a little, bathing in a little bit of a stereotypical racism.
Wore the wife beater in the ring, and then when he'd come to do interviews, he'd wear the bandana with the sunglasses and then the shirt,
top button,
bottom buttons undone. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good stuff, wrestling. Good stuff. We are all tied up at four right now, by the way. So this is you, Ski. You got your chance. Which half of a famous WWE tag team has since become an actor, starring in several seasons of the History Channel show Vikings?
Who is that person that was in Vikings?
Who is that person?
You're not even giving me the name of the tag team, so I get like...
Nope.
Well, he's got to be, you know, he's got to look the part.
Mm-hmm.
there's got to be the hardest one you have on there.
And the one, the only one that I know the answer to without having to look it up, because I fucking love that show. I was like, oh, that's him.
I've only watched the first season or two, so I got, Undertaker.
Nope.
No, he wasn't tag team, so that doesn't help. Nah, nope. I got nothing then.
Nope. All right, Kane, your options. Bubba Ray Dudley, Edge, or Jeff Hardy?
Did you repeat those?
Bubba Ray Dudley, Edge, or Jeff Hardy?
Jeff Hardy.
That is incorrect. It's actually Edge. He actually came in like the last couple of seasons. Plays kind of a cool character. All right, King, you're up.
This is the last question.
I have two more. But whoever gets the next one wins. Yeah. So finish this catchphrase. I'm the Miz and I'm...
so out of my demo.
Yes, I have no idea.
This is road rules guy. Yeah. Okay. I'm the Miz and nobody beats the Miz.
Correct answer.
Oh, oh, oh.
Correct answer.
Nobody beats the Miz.
That is incorrect. Your options, Ski. I'm the Miz and I'm amazing. I'm the Miz and I'm awesome. I'm the Miz and I'm better than you.
You're all terrible.
You're so bad.
One of them's right.
The third one.
Better than you?
Yes.
No, that's not it.
Oh.
It's I'm the Miz and I'm awesome.
Oh my God.
Ah, those are awful.
Okay, God, here we go, dude.
Back to the racist tropes here, at least.
Seriously.
God. Here we go, dude.
They really gave up. Yeah.
This is it. Like, if nobody gets this last one, it's going to be a draw, which might be perfect. I don't know. We'll see. Ski, which brand of beer did Stone Cold drink in the ring?
I mean, it has to be Budweiser.
It is absolutely Budweiser. Congratulations. Yes. You have retained your honor. You can move on with your life, feeling okay with how your situation is. I was nervous.
Sometimes these questions, man, they just – he gets Stone Cold's beer of choice, and what does WWE stand for?
I also got the who is in Vikings.
That was like a really like that was a roller coaster of questions, like difficult to difficulty wise.
I mean, how did you not know what the Miz's fucking catchphrase was? I mean, come on, I know.
What is it? I'm better than you.
By the way, the one I crossed
nobody
out.
Me?
I'm the Miz, and I'm morally superior.
The one I crossed out from earlier was what was the signature move Goldberg would use that led
the spear?
The spear.
The least move of a move.
The wackest move ever.
Because then he had the jackhammer after that, which also wasn't really a move. Like, but
and Goldberg stunk.
It's funny because we all loved Goldberg back then.
I did.
Yeah.
Looking back, he was terrible.
Yeah. His shtick wasn't that good. His moves weren't that great. Well, you know what? Okay, no, that's not fair.
Because when we were that age watching wrestling, the spear was the shit. Like, we would fucking do the spear to each other. Like, it was great. Like, you go to your buddy's house and you're like, hah! And then spear him into the bed or something like that. Like, fuck, you're done. Anyway.
Well, how about, like, Hogan's, like,
By the way, a little homoerotic. Spear your buddy into the bed.
Listen, it's 2020, man. Be you. Right? Fly free.
How about this? Hulk Hogan, probably the biggest wrestler of all time.
Yeah.
His move, he would just drop his leg on you.
Leg drop?
That was his move.
That was it. And he'd do it slowly, too. He'd, like, slow down before he dropped the leg. Yeah. That was pretty – yeah, it's a good point. He had a good shtick, though, obviously.
Well,
one of the best ever. Tear the shirt up.
He's a fucking real American. What do you expect?
The ear thing.
For the right of every man.
Yeah. Yep. All right. I guess that's it. have a good night, guys. Yeah.
Tune in next Friday for Friday Night Raw.
We'll be
an hour after the
We're going to watch live wrestling for the first time in 20 years and then break it down.
Join us on Twitch.
Yeah.
Yeah, we definitely need a Discord of just live watching.
For real. I mean, well, every recording of this is video recorded too.
All right.
So we can post this on that Sports Brewery YouTube page.
Exactly. Oh, yeah.
I'm sure I know the password.
Yeah. First post in a decade, literally.
I'm sure that shit will get pulled down in a second, too, by...
Yeah, right? Right? We do not have the express written consent from the WWE. Yeah.
Definitely not.